Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and year-ended FY24 earnings conference call of the Anup Engineering Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain certain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our business risks that could cause actual results, performances, or achievements to differ significantly from what has been expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Please note that the company has uploaded the results, press release, investor presentation, and also the outcome of the board meeting on the website of stock exchanges and website of the company. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Reginaldo de Souza. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, thank you. Hello everyone. Warm greetings from Team Anup. I'm Reginaldo de Souza, CEO at Anup, and I'm glad to be part of this call to share our quarter four and the financial year 2023-24 performance. I must say the year has been very eventful, challenging, rewarding, and also very encouraging for our future. All thanks to our committed employees, especially my hardworking operators on the shop floor, and also our supplier partners. Indeed, it has been a fairly decent year. Coming to the performance on our quarter four, please note that all the numbers quoted by me is in INR. The revenue clocked is 156.9 crores against 144.2 crores in Q4 of the previous year, means a growth of 8.8%. EBITDA at 37.2 crores as against 30.2 in the previous year, a growth of 23.7%. And a PAT of 43.3 crores against 19.5 crores of the previous year, a 122% increase. If you discount and without the tax reversal, PAT is at 28.8 crores, again a 48% growth. Looking at the year-end performance, FY24, the revenue clocked is 550.4 crores against 411.3 crores of previous year. That means a growth of 34%. EBITDA at 126.8 crores as against 82.7 in the previous year, a growth of 53.3%. And a PAT of 103.5 crores against 51.4 crores, which is double of the previous year. Without the tax reversal, our PAT is at 89 crores as against 51.4 crores of previous year, which means a 73% growth. On the working capital, it has been good, and we are at our best average working capital of four turns. The cash was also managed well, ending with a net cash positive of 114 crores. Our on-time delivery performance, which has been the key focus for us over the years, was above 95%, which meant that we were able to meet most of our contractual delivery dates, thereby making our customers happy. In terms of the product mix, exchangers still dominated in FY24 at about 70%. Exports, including deemed export, was at 41%, and pure exports stood at 31%. In terms of the industry, oil and gas and petchem still dominates the industry we serve, followed by hydrogen and fertilizer sectors. On the order booking, I think this has been one of our best. We booked new orders worth 853 crores for the year, which meant an opening balance of approximately 854 crores, of which around 700 crore plus will be executable in this year, FY25. Interestingly, about 50% would be for exports. We've had few other strategic developments in the year, FY24. Our new Kheda plant was made operational in June 2023 and has been doing well over the last three quarters. Further, we have also started the construction work on the extension of our existing bay in Phase 1. This will be operational in Q2 of this financial year, which will mean that we would have completed Phase 1 with two complete manufacturing bays at Kheda, delivering about 150 crore plus revenue for this year. As informed earlier, to increase our capacity for growth, we acquired a company 100% down south in Tamil Nadu named Mabel Engineers Private Limited, which is predominantly into manufacturing of vessels and silos, thus complementing our existing product portfolio. We also started our design office in Vadodara, Gujarat in the month of March with a strategic intent of being close to our customers since we have a large customer base out there. Also on the sustainability initiatives, we completed our 1 megawatt rooftop solar at Ahmedabad, and along with our windmill, we now have 60% of our power requirements at Ahmedabad facility through renewable sources. This year again, we have planned for installation of rooftop solar at Kheda facility also. On the future market outlook, we see some interesting projects, especially in petrochemicals and also fertilizer and hydrogen globally. On the hydrogen business side, we are currently witnessing more opportunities coming from blue hydrogen, especially from the western part of the world. On the supply chain, we are keeping a close watch on the geopolitical scenes around and monitoring very closely and building our strategies around to de-risk. So indeed, FY24 has been very eventful, exciting and quite encouraging. So considering our decent performance in FY24, we have issued dividend of 15 rupees per share and also a special one-time dividend of 5 rupees additional since we have crossed a PAT of 100 crores for the first time. We are happy that we could do this. Please note that in the financial results, we have shown EPS after considering the bonus issue shares, which was declared on 20th March 2024 and allotted on 26th April 2024. This is as per Indian accounting standard, that is, if number of shares increase as a result of bonus issue, the calculation of basic and diluted EPS for all three periods presented shall be adjusted retrospectively. As prices of shares are now ex-bonus, we are required to show EPS considering bonus effect, that is, two times of the number of shares. As a result, you would find our EPS half of what it should have been if bonus shares were not issued. So to conclude, we've had an eventful and encouraging year, and the momentum created with a good pending order book of 854 crores and with a very healthy inquiry pipeline of close to about 1,000 crores augurs well for achieving the growth plan of financial year FY25, with a 25 to 30% growth and with an EBITDA of 20% plus. I am confident that with the complete visibility into the year and at the strength of a strong, capable team at Anup, and with a continued support from our reliable partners and suppliers, we will be able to deliver on our plans. My sincere thanks to all our hard-working, committed team members, our partners, our suppliers, and all our shareholders for standing by us and trusting the brand Anup. We are ever indebted for your trust and support. Thank you all for attending this call and for your patient listening. Now, I'm happy to have your questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chetan Vora from Abacus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, Reji sir.
Hi, good evening, Chetan.
Yeah, hi. Sir, congratulations for the great set of numbers. Would like to understand from a three-year perspective, now everything is getting into the place. So how do we foresee, you know, get to reach that milestone of 1,000 crores, which we were earlier anticipating by the Ashwin management team? So how, what are our views on that, sir?
Yeah, so Chetan, we stick to our plans that we had articulated last year, that we should be a 1,000 crore company in FY27. So this year, as you know, with the growth plans that we have and with visibility, we should easily cross the 700 crore mark. Next year, we should be close to about 900, and year after, we should be a 1,000 crore company. So we maintain our guidance of 25 to 30% growth with a decent EBITDA. We have done all the groundwork. As you know, we put the capacities in place. And with the acquisition of Mabel, it gives an additional capacity built up geographically and also to grow our turnover towards that 1,000 crore mark.
So that 700 crores what you mentioned for this year, that includes the Mabel or the numbers also, or it will be the organic growth, 550 to 700 plus Mabel?
Yeah, it will be an organic growth.
Okay. And plus Mabel or whatever they do, 50, 60 crores, correct, for FY25?
That's correct.
All right. Okay. So you are saying that by FY26, you will be seeing revenue to reach 900 crores and the basically the quarterly rate should be able to give us the confidence that we should be doing 1,000 crores of revenue, right, sir?
That's correct. So in FY26, we will be very close to that mark, but we will touch that mark in FY27.
Right, got it. And, yeah, and how should we think on the margins front, sir? Because the Mabel is having a margin profile which is not to the likes of Anup. So how do we see the margin on a blended basis?
So even as we grow, Chetan, we would be targeting the 20% plus kind of an EBITDA. Though as we move up the metallurgy and complexity, there would be increase in the raw material pricing, but our whole game plan is to grow at that rate with a decent EBITDA margin of 20% plus.
Right. And you said that 2 days at Kheda would be contributing 150 crores of revenue in FY25, right, sir?
That is correct. Because we don't have the full year, next year that will contribute 200.
Achha, then next year it will be 200 crores and that will be the full capacity, right?
That's correct, because next year we will have the complete 12 months at our disposal.
And then about the next level of expansion or the third bay and fourth bay?
So once we have done this extension which will be commissioned in Q2 of this year, we will be initiating the next plan of expansion somewhere in February, end of this year, or end of this financial year, which will be either one way or two way, as the case may be, but surely one way.
Okay. As you mentioned in the presentation, it was mentioned that the plant will be get the second wave will be commissioned in quarter one, but it is quarter two, yeah?
Yeah, so it will be sort of completed in quarter one, but the production with all the machineries and other set, we will kickstart in quarter two. The production will kickstart in quarter two.
Right. Yes, sir. This is for mine. Thank you. Wish you all the very best.
Yeah, thanks. And just an addition, as you know, in Kheda, the advantage for us is that we have set up all the utilities around in the first phase itself. What we need to add now going forward is only the pure manufacturing base. So that's the reason we are timing it correctly.
Okay, sir.
Thanks, Vedan.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhishek Singhal from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible, sir?
A little louder, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, okay. Congratulations on good set of numbers. In regarding CapEx, how much CapEx was done in FY24 and what is CapEx plan for FY24?
Sorry, what was the second question? If you may please repeat.
How much CapEx was done in FY24 and what is CapEx plan for FY25?
Yeah, so in the earlier expansion of phase one, as we said earlier, we had done a capex of about approximately 120 crores. This extension would cost us about 18 to 20 crores, which we are going to commission in Q2. We don't have any further expansion plans except the small capex for this year. Maybe that once we initiate phase two construction, which will be the capex which will impact us next year. So this year we do not have any large scale capex plan yet.
Okay. And second question, what is effective tax rate for FY25? Because in FY24 our tax amount is low.
It would be 25. Yeah, 25.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nirav V from Ask Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir, and thank you very much for the opportunity. Would it be possible for you to help me understand how big can be the opportunity for us coming from the hydrogen segment? If you can help me understand the opportunity size.
Yeah, so just to give you a perspective of the pending order book of 854 crores, roughly about 20 to 25% forms from the hydrogen business. When I say hydrogen, largely these are blue hydrogen projects, not huge on green yet, but largely on blue hydrogen project. And what we foresee in the next couple of years, we can see this trend moving forward. Close to about 20% of our business coming from hydrogen, especially blue.
Sir, what I'm trying to understand is, like, if 100 rupees of capex is being done for a hydrogen plant, what can be our addressable pie?
તમે જે વ્યક્તિને કોલ કર્યો છે તેને તમારો કોલ.
Hello.
Apologies for the
phone. Hello, yes.
Yeah. Hello, sir. My question was, if 100 rupees of capex was done for a hydrogen plant, blue hydrogen plant, what can be our scope of work?
So on the overall project value, roughly about 2% would be our scope of work. And out of which, depending on the competition, how much we can win will be based on our win rate.
Thank you. Would it be possible for you to help me with the order inflows that you have booked in FY24?
853 crores.
You mean to say order backlog and order inflows is practically the same at around 850 crores?
Almost the same, because if you remember, we opened the year at 530 crores. Of course, that was all at costing rate. Then we have, so that's how you see the opening almost the same as our order book. And that's how we target also every year. Whatever is our plan for the next year, we try to book it into this year. So as on 1st of April, when we open up here, we have the full complement of order book on our hand.
Right. So my other question is pertaining to the to margin trajectory. You stated that the targeted EBITDA margin is 20% as you book, as you are aspiring for 1,000 crores revenue. My question is that if I look at the hydrogen capex, this is the capex which is done by the largest industrial houses of India. And these companies are very tight in terms of ordering, and they have a history of not allowing their vendors to make higher margins. So on what basis are we able to, I can say, demand higher margins of almost 20% from these really large conglomerates who really know, have a very strong handle on the project costing part?
Okay, so when we look at business potential, we look at global. So when I said that 20% of our pending order book is blue hydrogen, and this is almost, I can say, 100% is exports. So what we are seeing largely on the hydrogen intake is the blue hydrogen coming from global market, especially on the western side, US and Middle East. India, I think, as per our understanding, it will be more focused towards green hydrogen, which will take some time because there are a lot of pilot projects coming up right now. So when we talk about the margin profile and the business potential, it is global. And as I said, of this pending order book of 850, close to about 50% of this year's execution will come from exports. So that's where we have an edge in terms of margin profiles.
Sir, do we also have to ship our products to plant location, or is it do we, like, I'm trying to understand if there can be a potential impact on the elevated or higher logistics cost?
No. So most of our projects, the POs are ex works for domestic largely. If it is exports, it is freight on board, FOB, up to the Indian port. We do not book orders at site for exports.
So my last question, if I broadly look at our gross margin profile, it has continuously hovered around 50%. So wanted to understand the order backlog that we have of 850 crore rupees. Is this order backlog with a fixed price contract, or there is a pass-through clause in it? Thank you.
Now, thanks for the question. So these are all fixed price contracts. We do not have any price variation clauses in our contracts. So these are all fixed. We estimate, and that's the reason more so the gross margin profiles almost is a certain deal.
So do we hedge material, or how is it?
So what we do is, as you know, our project, since it's a project environment, we have to buy material specific to our project. We can't have anything in stock. So what we do is, before pre-order, we largely for critical projects have a sort of an understanding with our supplier base, and moment we receive the order, within 6 to 8 weeks is where the POs are released to our sub-vendors. So it's a question of 4 to 6 weeks. Where between our PO to the PO to our sub-vendors, where largely we don't see that kind of a fluctuations. In normal circumstances, of course, we had a challenge in during COVID times, which were uncertain, unpredictable. But in normal circumstances, we are fairly good on ordering.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Jha from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ravi. Congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank you, Kunal.
Yeah, just few questions. One thing was, you know, our order book of 850-odd crores comprises good amount of orders on the export front, almost like 500-odd crores. So if you could help understand in the first place, you know, how is the market scenario looking like in both on the export and the domestic front? And within export front, any particular geography where we are seeing a lot of tailwinds, which is helping us build this order book, would be really helpful on the order book side. The second question is, you know, on the cash. So while our CapEx requirement is only to the tune of 20-25-odd crores, we have a cash of about 100-odd crores. So would like to have your thoughts on how do we go about, you know, deploying this cash. And the third question was for Nilesh on tax part. You know, so if you could help understand what was this adjustment that has happened in the current quarter, and you know, whether the tax rate would continue going forward to be a 25% odd rate, or since it is SEZ, where we have some kind of benefit out there, how would the total tax rate look like in the coming years?
Thanks, Kunal, for the questions. I'll answer the first part and then hand over to Nilesh. So on the export and domestic, so being frank, in domestic we see a little bit of low traction. We see more traction on the export currently. So the export order backlog that we have, these comes largely from United States of America, some in the Middle East, especially Saudi and Abu Dhabi. These are the two regions where we see a lot of projects coming in, and a big chunk of orders coming from Nigeria and Australia. So overall, I would say US and Middle East is the focus area for us, because we see a lot of traction on new projects in these areas. Nilesh, you could.
Mostly to do with the oil and gas industry, or you know, even the order pipeline, which you mentioned, largely comprises of exports, or if you could give a general sense on that also would be helpful, really.
Yeah, so largely we see the traction on petrochemical side, and in terms of the order book position also, if you see, more of the order book, pending order book, is coming from the petrochemical side as compared to oil and gas.
Okay, got it. And it would be right to understand that basically the exports market would have much better margin profile compared to the domestic market. So generally, as the execution of the exports market kind of pick up, right, the margin profile probably would look better further from here on, or how should one look at that? While you did allude to looking at EBITDA margin of 20%+, but you know, we have clocked 50% gross margins in the current quarter and 48% gross margins for the whole year, with EBITDA margin at 23% for FY 2024.
Yeah, so on the margin profile, see, when we go at the booking stage, we don't see that kind of a difference between the export or domestic. This I've been mentioning in the past. What happens is, when we book the order, we are a little bit conservative on the forex side, because we need to build that risk into our costing. But over the years, we have seen that more than many, we found that we benefit on the forex side. And that's how, at the end of execution, the export orders tend to be more beneficial. And to add to that, it also helps us on the working capital side, because the exports order, we generally see better advances as compared to domestic. So that gives us a little bit of edge in terms of our working capital.
Okay, got it. And any thoughts on cash utilization, really? How do you see that?
So,
Yeah, so, Nilesh,
Yeah, out of 100 crore, we will be paying a dividend to the tune of 40 crores. 35 will be paid to a neighbor, and the rest of CapEx. So that there is, like, these are the three items probably will consume the entire 100 crore rupees.
Okay. And Nilesh, you have the cash?
Yeah, tax part, we will have a general rate of a 25% as a tax percentage. These are the refunds which were pertaining to the aspect of certain claim emerged as a demerger of ANU from the Arvind originally. So where big conservatism was built, where the expense was provided in the P&L and refund claim was filed with the government, and we have just received the refund, and this would be the probably the last tranche of refund which we were supposed to receive from the government. Going forward, tax rate would be in the range of 25 to 25.2% as a percentage of PBT.
Got it. Just one question, if really I may pull in, you know, on the domestic side, you mentioned that you're seeing a little bit of slowdown. If you could elaborate a little bit, you know, any specific reason, if you could just allude a little bit pertaining to the domestic side slowdown.
No, that's largely because we've seen last 2 years, a lot of projects are hitting the ground. Especially from IOCL, from Naira Energy, a lot of domestic projects. So what happens is these are long commissioning kind of projects. So once they hit the ground and commission, then the next cycle of project. And that's the reason you always see the cyclicity in terms of project investments. So I'm sure that by end of this year, the investments are going to restart again with a lot of projects already outlined. We know 3 or 4 projects which are already going to hit the ground probably in 3 to 4 months of time. So this is only a short phenomenon that we are seeing. It will surely be up and running probably 6 months down the line.
Got it. Cool. Thank you for the opportunity and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bhavya Sonawala from Samsa Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Just have one question. You have spoken about us getting into skids and modules going ahead as a longer term vision. Just wanted to know if you can speak a little about it and if there is any kind of already technology or design already there, just like how in the heat exchange we have VGX from Lumis. So is it similar like that, or do we have to make our own design, and where are we in this whole process right now? If you can just throw some light on that. Thank you.
Yeah, so I did mention in the previous call that we see a visibility of getting into skids and modules in 2 to 3 years kind of a time frame. That is precisely where the KEDA phase 3 construction is going to help us. That is designed for those kind of equipments. These are nothing but these are the equipments that we already make, but rather than supplying these equipments to the site and getting installed at the site, these are fabricated in the shop, they are attached to a structure in the shop, and the whole structure moves along with the equipment to the site for quick fix kind of installation. So what it means is broadly the installation and commissioning cost at the site, which is generally very high, tends to reduce when you have these modules built in the shop. So as I mentioned earlier, we need to build our capabilities for being able to make this kit. We are already in that process. We had recruited some couple of engineers 6 months back. We are into that process. It is going to take some time before we actually start making them. And our plan on the growth journey is to be making skids and modules 2 to 3 years down the line. And we are on track for that.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pratik from Shublab Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. D'Souza.
Hi, good evening.
Am I audible?
Very clearly, please go ahead.
Good evening, Mr. D'Souza. Mr. Sir, I was just curious to understand, since the slowdown in our domestic order book, has been continuing probably since last 7 quarters. I was trying to understand in this 1,000 crore order book pipeline, how much of it is domestic? Because last quarter we had this understanding that probably domestic market will also pick up, but I think that has not happened yet.
Yeah, so of the total inquiry pipeline, approximately 350 crores is for the domestic, which is much better than what it was. So it is improving, and as I said, in 5 to 6 months is where we see a clear push onto the domestic projects. So as I said, we were in the execution phase. So if you remember, last year, we executed the largest order of 100 crores for an IOCL job, single order, which just got completed, and we dispatched all of them in last financial year. And those are the kind of large-scale projects which once get commissioned, then the next phase of investments come in. So we are very confident that domestic market is going to pick up. And more so, you would have seen our focus has always been, I mentioned in the call, that we would like to keep exports also much higher than our historical percentages. Our historical percentages used to be about 10%-15% of exports. We wanted to have that geographical spread and take exports to about 40%-50%. More importantly, because we wanted to beat the cyclicity in terms of investments in a particular region or a country. And that's, I think, precisely where things have worked for us. That focus of strategic shift in having sort of 40%-50% exports is actually yielding benefit and showing in the results of our order booking.
Certainly, Mr. D'Souza. I think, no, I would like to congratulate you there because the kind of pickup we have shown in exports order book is quite appreciable, you know, from 100 crore to probably 488 crore this quarter. My second question, Mr. D'Souza, is on, given the slowdown in domestic order book, do you find enough exports pipeline, order pipeline, to take care of our growth for at least FY 2025 or FY 2026 even? Because FY 2025 is already taken care of because of order book. So if this slowdown continues, do you see enough opportunities in exports market?
Yeah. So FY 2025, as you rightly said, we already covered for FY 2025. Over and above that, we have 150 crore plus already booked for FY 2026. As I said, we have a inquiry pipeline of close to about 1,000 crores, of which about 650 crores is on the export side. And given our strike rate of close to about 20%, that's what we wish to maintain and not go high because for the profitability sake. So we see this 900 crore-1,000 crore kind of an inquiry pipeline rolling at a real-time basis month on month. So the kind of projects visibility that we are seeing, we are very confident that this inquiry pipeline would continue. And given our strike rate, we should be able to book the orders.
Understood. Understood, Mr. D'Souza. So lastly, on this naval acquisition, which is in Tamil Nadu, I was curious to check, are we getting, you know, any technical capability there, or is it just a, you know, land and, you know, the CapEx? I mean, the capacity expansion is what we are getting from there.
Yeah. So naval is into manufacturing, predominantly into manufacturing of pressure vessels and silos. Now, silos is something which, as Anup Engineering, we are not qualified into making. So that gives us an added product portfolio to make silos for our oil and gas and petrochemicals sectors. And the geographical spread also helps us to do execution at site. So in short, Naval Engineers has got two pluses. One is the silo manufacturing, and second, they have the site work expertise, which we do not have. And that was the strategic intent with which we have acquired that plant.
Understood. And Mr. D'Souza, in silos, the margin profile is similar to what we are currently working upon, I mean, 20%+? Or is it a high margin or a low margin?
No, it's not 20+. It's close to in between 15%-20%, depending on the customer base and the kind of equipment profile, meaning metallurgy when I say equipment profile. So it will vary between 15%-20%.
Understood. Understood. Just one last, if I can squeeze in. In this domestic slowdown, there's no market share loss for us. I mean, we are still, you know, intact with the market share we have, which is not public, I understand, but it's still.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In a sense, it has not impacted us at all, is because earlier we were focused only on domestic, Now with this export focus, 50% of our order booking is taken care of by that. So it is, I would say it is more of a choice to be a 50-50% kind of a business profile to de-risk ourselves from cyclicity.
Understood. Very helpful. Thanks a lot, Mr. Sia, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in conference, please limit your question to only 3 questions per participant. Should have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the question queue. Next question is from the line of Abhineet Anand from 3P Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. The first being on Maple numbers, can you help with the numbers for the last few years? Say, how is it grown in the last 3 years on the revenue side?
So on the last financial year, they were about 50 crore plus with an EBITDA between 15% to 20%.
And any growth numbers that they would have done in the last 3 years? I mean, is it steady at 50, or was it at 15-20% growth type of story?
They've grown between 10% to 15%. Largely, I would say that they've been operating in a single shift kind of an environment. So we have a larger potential to grow it quickly. So once we get into the real drive, we will be able to book more orders for those particular product portfolios that they are into, and also add the product portfolio which are smaller in sizes, which we normally would not be able to do it at Ahmedabad or Kheda facility. We would be targeting at Mabel. So the whole strategy going forward is to continue making silos, the special products that they have, plus add Anup's product portfolio suitable for that particular plant. Okay. So that's the reason for this year we have a plan of about 50 to 60 crores, which is going to continue from where we bought it, and then probably we will get into expediting the growth from next year onwards.
And secondly, you see your medium term plan of that 1000 crore by F27, and then you have talked about skids and modules, that capability that you will develop over the next 2-3 years. So the skids and modules part that you're talking about is a story beyond that 1000 crore, which can still give us a 15% or whatever percent type of growth, right? Is it a fair assumption to be made?
That is correct.
Okay. And last one, your EBITDA margin this year was around 300 basis points higher than last year, out of which 200 has come from gross margin. So, obviously while you always comment 20% plus and not 23 that we have done this year, but I mean, just as 25, 26, which side will it tilt towards, whether it's 20 or 23, any qualitative will work as well.
No, actually what happens is, as we grow and book orders, right, with the same capacity, as I explained in the past too, with the same capacity, when I say capacity, it's tons of fabrication that we can do from a plant. If we have to grow the revenue, the only way to do it is go up the metallurgy or complexity chain of the equipment. And when we start doing that, the raw material content as percentage keeps moving up. So it's all about how good or how well your procurement strategies work, how well are you able to save on your estimated raw material. So it all depends on the favorable conditions in terms of commodity pricing too. So that's the reason we and why we say always that we want to grow at a 25 to 30% rate along with an EBITDA percentage of 20% plus, is because we could pick up orders. As I said, our strike rate is only 20%. We could make that strike rate to 30% by compromising a little on margin, but we are very watchful that as we grow, we are also remaining profitable.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for the answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of numbers. A lot of my questions have been answered. So on a different side of note, I just wanted to ask that around 750 crores of orders we are hoping to execute this year. So would it include Maple order book or how would it be?
So as we said earlier, 700 crores is something that we are looking from Anup, and that is our Ahmedabad and Kheda facility, and Maple would be over and above that. So roughly we are expecting anywhere between 50 to 60 crores from Maple.
Okay. So this is just asking because we have given a very good guidance of 25 to 30%, but I just, the way I look at it, are we being a bit on the cautious side, and I feel we could maybe overperform our guidance. Is that a fair way to look at it? Is there a possibility of doing that? Because we have a good order backlog and a new acquisition coming in. So will that be fair?
So this guidance broadly is based on the execution philosophy that we have and the execution capability. So this 850 crores of pending order book could have been much larger if we wanted to. So we have been calibrating our order intake very, very carefully and cautiously because as I mentioned earlier too, our business mantra is very clear that we should deliver on time because 70% of my orders come from repeat customers and I need happy customers to be on our side. So we calibrate even in good times when there could be large amount of order inflow possible. We calibrated suitable to our execution philosophy of ensuring that everything, every project is delivered on time. And that is how we've done it in the past. And that is how we are projecting the future because of 25 to 30%. The market was fantastic over the last couple of years. It is going to be good for next 2 to 3 years, we know. So from the order booking side, shouldn't be a challenge, but it is more about execution because as you know, this is a project environment and every order that we take has to start from ground zero, that is starting from design. No two equipments are standard or common. And that's where the challenge is, that the whole chain, value chain, right from design to procurement to manufacturing and delivery is always starting from zero for every project. And our experience is that this is the rate at which we'll be able to maintain the execution philosophy intact and keep happy customers. So that's the reason we are growing at this very cautious pace.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you so much for such a detailed explanation. That is from my side. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nyasar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. One was, broadly, can you give the sector mix for this quarter and what sectors domestically are you seeing doing well relatively?
So this quarter, and probably the answer would remain same even for the year, the petrochemical sector is something that we are seeing is coming in big way. Of course, in the export side, it will be more on the hydrogen side, but for domestic, it's more on the petrochemical and fertilizer side.
Okay, and just going forward, obviously you mentioned about the domestic sector and some obviously weakness there, but are you seeing that it's increased competition? That is why that you need to, in order to maintain your profitability, that there's some weakness in our order book, or you're just not seeing those many orders flowing through?
It's more about, I think, calibrating our order intake and our aspiration of moving more into exports. and that's what is manifested in our pending order book position as well. So this little bit of slowdown that I've spoken about, that's merely because the large scale of projects were in the implementation phase from IOCLs and other PSUs. And now gradually we are seeing a lot of other projects now being announced. And 5 to 6 months, as I said, we see a large chunk of projects coming up our way for bidding.
Okay. And on the export side, do you go direct? It's all direct to clients, or are there any distributors? And the networking capital, does exports need more investment in NWC?
No, these are what we get the orders are mostly from EPC contractors. EPC contractors are like, I'll name a few just for your understanding: Technimon, Technip, Air Products, Toyo. So all these are EPC contractors, and we have years of relationship with these EPC contractors. So we get direct orders from EPC contractors to be supplied to the end user.
Okay. And NWC, is any additional investments generally needed on exports?
No, absolutely not. In fact, as I said earlier, working capital is a little better when it comes to export, because we have larger advances to the tune of 35% to 40% advances as compared to domestic. So we are better off on the working capital side.
Got it. Thank you very much, Nolans.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ajay Kumar Surya from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So my question is, can you provide a breakup of your export between the geographies, between USA, Middle East, Nigeria, and Australia? And sir, further question on that, sir, what is the global competition intensity between players like us and Alpha Level or Calvion or Fisher? So how is the competition intensity currently over there? If you can provide any view on that.
Yeah, so answering your first question, of the total export order spending, roughly about 40% comes from United States, 25%, around 30% would come from Middle East, and balance 25% would come from Southeast Far East. Southeast Far East, when I say, I would include Australia in that.
And sir, on the competition intensity level, like between players like Alpha Level, Calvion, so how are we competing against them? Like, is it because of the cost advantage that we have, or is it because of the better technology? And how is the competition intensity among those players and us?
So on the competition profile that you mentioned, we hardly compete with these competitors. So we have a different set of competitors in India and global, largely because we are onto the heavy fabrication side. So we have a product portfolio which is in the sort of a mid segment. If you put it as tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, probably we are in the tier 2 kind of a product segment, which are upwards of 30 tons kind of fabrication. So we don't deal largely on the lower side.
So, sir, who are we competing against, and like?
So in India, if you see, it would be more about Istech, L&T, Godrej. That's the set of competition that we play with.
No, sir. My question is for the export side. Like, again, the export market, who would be competing against? As in, like, players or local players from there, or any global MNC, and if you can name them.
So in for exports, largely today we see in this static process equipment, most of the orders are released in India, Indian fabric manufacturers. So we see these competitors even for export. Also, there are European competitors in Italy and others, but now because of the heavy energy cost, we don't see too heavy competition from there. China, yes, in limited regions and for projects, we see them as competition. But largely, I would put it as that whatever inquiries that we get as Anup Engineering, we see large competition only from Indian players. We hardly compete with foreign players.
Got it. So my next question is on the hydrogen side, sir. Because we are seeing a good chunk of our order book from the hydrogen side. So, sir, do we have any tie-up for technology? Or, sir, how are we progressing on this side? Like, why are we able to get such high chunk of order book from the hydrogen side? If you can just give any view, like, why is Anup getting such huge traction?
So, frankly, we do not have any technology tie-ups specifically for hydrogen business. And to the question, why are we getting orders for hydrogen for such heavy stuff? It is mainly our past track record. So any customer who wants to place inquiries and subsequently purchase orders for these kind of heavy equipment, they would check your credentials in terms of your past experiences. And touch wood, we have over the years of our existence created a lot of PTRs that they call, that past track records, where we build very, very heavy equipments, which serves as our testimony, and that gives the confidence to customers that we could deliver. And moreover, all these customers that we get these orders from, we've been working with them for many years now. Average, I would put it as that we would have worked with them for 5 to 7 years now, constantly delivering critical large-scale projects for them. And that is how we tend to get repeat orders for various sectors that they get into.
Sir, just a clarification, because you said that you get most of your orders from EPC, so the comment you made, like, you get repeat orders from your customers, so would be the EPC players or the end IOCL or Naira Energy, so those kind of players. So just a clarification on that. Our repeat customers would be the EPC players or the end customers that they would be serving.
So when you take it from Indian context or the domestic context, of course, all the PSU companies would have direct tenders, right? So we bid on tenders directly. Whereas for all the private players, there would be large, on most of the occasions, EPC contractors. So it would vary year on year, but over a, say, a three-year horizon, if you take an average, it would be sort of 50% to direct customers and 50% to EPC contractors.
Got it. Sir, last question. Sir, I've seen that even because we deal in shell and tube type of heat exchanger, and even in the industry, there is a strong preference of air and cold, and even plate heat exchangers are currently, like, gaining a lot of traction. So how do you see the overall heat exchanger market, and do we see any kind of risk where one kind of heat exchanger goes on to replace shell and tube, and how are we placed against such kind of risks or any other risk which we foresee? Just a comment on that.
Yeah, so air-cooled heat exchangers have been in use for many years, along with shell and tube kind of a construction. They are largely used where you find water scarcity or other stuff. But as Anup Engineering, we've never focused on, though we had the capability to manufacture, we have not taken that strongly as a product portfolio, especially because we see that as a low margin profile product. That's the only reason. Otherwise, in terms of capabilities, we do have those capabilities to manufacture. And in terms of square meter kind of footprint, that takes a larger space to fabricate as compared to my oil and gas and petrochemicals kind of a business. So direct answer, today oil and gas and petrochemical sector along with hydrogen is definitely a more lucrative segment for us going forward.
Yes, sir. Only plate reduction in Indian government, like do you see anything like this?
No, we are not able to hear you.
You are not audible, please.
Hello? Yeah, is it better now?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so the question is more on this. Do you see anything like...
Sir, so your voice is very low. We are not able to hear you.
Hello, is it better now?
No, sir.
Okay, yes. Okay, I will leave you on the video.
Hello, sir. Could you speak something?
No, I will leave you on the video. Thank you. All the videos.
So we're not able to hear you. Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Reginaldo D'Souza for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. So thank you all for those wonderful questions. I once again take this opportunity to thank my wonderful team at Anup and to each and every one who has contributed to this performance. A big thank you to all of you, our shareholders, for your trust and standing by our side always. Thank you, and on behalf of my team at Anup, I wish you all a very happy, healthy and a prosperous life ahead. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Anup Engineering Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.